Hello everyone and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Wednesday, June 25, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Wadd Ahmed. And for today's show, we're going to be discussing Majid Al-Futtaim's succession, specifically how Fadl Al-Ali has been named the chairman of Majid Al-Futtaim Group in, you know, this major governance shakeup. We're also going to be discussing how the giant shipping company Maersk cuts ties with firms linked to Israeli settlements after a lot of mounting activist pressure. And Replit has hit $100 million in annual recurring revenue, founder Amjad Massad has revealed. And finally, we're going to be discussing how UAE's Baraka has launched an AI assistant on its app to help retail investors in the Gulf.
Yes, big story of the day is Fadl Abdul Baqi Al-Ali. He has been appointed chairman of Majid Al-Futtaim Group. Everyone knows about the problems that were going on. There's 10 heirs to Majid Al-Futtaim, and all of them wanted to lead the company. But now there is a structural change. We'll tell you about it. It's one of the region's largest privately held conglomerates. The announcement comes as part of a major governance overhaul within the $19 billion retail and real estate powerhouse.
I mean, the $19 billion, you can imagine that's exactly why Dubai government would want to step in. So Al-Ali, who also serves as chairman of the Dubai Financial Services Authority, replaces longtime chairman Sir Michael Rake. Now, his appointment follows a judicial committee decision formed at the request of the 10 heirs of the group's late founder, Majid Al-Futtaim.
And in a statement, Al-Ali said it was a privilege and responsibility to guide one of the UAE's most beloved institutions as it enters its fourth decade. Majid Al-Futtaim Group operates in 16 countries, owns Carrefour franchises across the Middle East, Mall of the Emirates is theirs, Lego franchises and more, and employs over 45,000 people.
So the leadership reshuffle comes amid a long-standing family succession dispute following the founder's death, Allah yirhamo, in 2021. Now the changes are seen as part of a broader move toward stronger oversight, transparency, and regulatory alignment with the business.
And Fadl Al-Ali's regulatory background and experience at First Abu Dhabi Bank and Dubai Holding are expected to support long-term planning. Analysts say the restructuring could pave the way for a future IPO and set a precedent for other regional family-run firms. It's very important that they've put up a guy who has years and years and decades of experience in handling all these situations. And he's the head of the board now, which is a 9-man or 11-man board.
It is.
And all of these people will work under him, under his leadership. The interesting thing was his experience at Dubai Holding. It's one of the biggest companies in Dubai itself. So yeah, I think it's a very good move. And he's very happy. He said, I'm honored to lead such a group. And I think it would be an honor for anyone. They could have hired me. I have the name. I was telling Wadd the story that the first time I came to UAE and I went to the Mall of Emirates and there was the Majid Al-Futtaim insignia and I took a picture with it. And I just randomly posted it on socials and I was like, oh, started a new business in the UAE. Please pray for me. And it was a joke. It was sarcasm. A lot of people came and like, oh, congrats. I was like, read the name. It's not me. But yeah, that's a funny story that I have. But Majid Al-Futtaim has been so big for so many years. I think this should have been done way earlier, but now it's been done.
And I think what's so impressive about Majid Al-Futtaim is that, you know, they're shifting to adapt with the kind of, you know, political ecosystem that we live in. Well, I would not say political, but, you know, it's like, and we saw it in the example of how, you know, there have been a lot of protests against Carrefour.
Yeah.
And basically what Majid Al-Futtaim did is they closed all of their Carrefour franchised outlets in Jordan, and I believe most of Oman, and they replaced it with this new store of Hypermax. So I think this is a prime example of how this is not a company that is slowly following trends.
Yeah.
They are very quickly catching up to the needs of the people. And just to let you guys know about the board of directors. So I opened the website. I'm not sure if it has been updated or not. And right now, there are 7 board of directors on the website. Obviously, Fadil Al-Ali. There is also a John Rishton. There is an Andrew Higginson. There is a Hamid Kazim, who used to work as a senior advisor for PwC. There is a Ahmed Galal Ismail, who is the CEO. And I think this is so interesting. Their chief financial officer is Ziad Chalhoub.
Yeah.
And I think that would probably explain why the concept store just managed to land in Mall of the Emirates. So the concept store, it is by the Chalhoub Group. And then there's also Peter Davison, the company secretary. So I think it's very interesting. They have not included every single name in the website. And I think, by the way,
apart from these, the other people are the family members then.
Probably.
Because these don't look like
probably,
the family members.
And you know what it is, honestly. And, you know, this is a growing trend that I've noticed in a lot of golf businesses, not just in Emirati businesses. If you notice, the founders like to take a back seat.
Yeah.
Not take a back seat in the sense of the work, but they don't like being in the limelight.
Yeah.
And I think it's a part of that like evil eye or like, you know, that Arabic, like in our culture, we're
I
very
think
private.
They prefer their privacy, I think. They
and
don't
I
want to
it.
Be. Very rarely you see Emirati face-led brand. And in the newer generation, it's happening. But like in the older generation, there were very few. That is why we know Majid Al-Futtaim. We don't have a lot of footage of him because there was no social media. But there is an example of the older generation following the newer footsteps.
It's not even just about the fact that, you know, there's no photographs of him because of an old time.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching this speech by Amal Al-Marri, the Emirati co-founder of Salt. And she was basically saying how for her, you know, founding Salt, it was a part of this process of making locals leave their homes, making locals come out of their homes. She wanted the locals to feel like tourists in their own country. Because if you notice, by the way, with... Like, I've lived here for a very long time, Majid. Things were not the same 5 years ago where you would walk into a cafe and it's just full of local men and women.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is why the changing of the landscape is important. Because,
yeah.
by the way, like in Arabic culture, local culture, they love their gatherings. They love their sit-downs in the majlis. So it's you know, I think the fact that... The fact that they're private, it is very instilled in their culture.
Yeah.
But I think that you have businesses like Salt, you have the you know the cafe culture that is completely changing things for them. And I think how networking even works, by the way.
Yeah. I think they have such a nice culture of staying within their own people. And I don't mind it, actually. A lot of people criticize it, and I don't mind it. It's just
the
community.
Like within each other?
Yeah, it's just the concept of community. For example, in your country, in my country, every country has this thing. I think with the Emiratis, the good thing is that they're very minimal in population, so they like to stay within the community, know each other, have very strong bonds. Any country you go to, they have these cohorts of communities. In Pakistan, all the 4 provinces have their own language. So Sindh has Sindhi language, Balochistan has Balochistan, Punjab has Punjabi language, KP has Pashto and Afghani language. The thing is that they like to stay in the communities. But when you go out, you meet Emiratis, they're the best people to meet. They'll talk to you like your their brother or sister or like their mates. But the deeper connections you always have, it's just, I think, a human thing. You always prefer your own community, your own language-speaking people, people who look, think, feel like you. So I think Emirati community as a whole,
I don't mind
that
it, to
is
be
why
honest
they are
with you.
Closer to each other.
You know what? Can I tell you something, Majid? I love going to restaurants that are ran by Arabs and only Arabs. It's a very specific thing that I have because I have noticed that when I go to a restaurant that is ran by Westerners and comparatively to a restaurant that is ran by Arabs, the food quality is so different.
Yeah.
It is so different. I feel like Arabs and this is where, like, this is why we're discussing culture. I know you're like, you know, why does this link to business? Because the values that you have, the kind of culture that you have, it does impact the kind of product that you're going to give people. It really does.
There was a very funny reel yesterday. It was on one of our Love In channels, and I saw it, and there's this guy who went from Dubai to Italy, and he was very happy he was in Italy, and he was trying this and that and the pizza and everything. And after, like, till he came to the third part, he was like, like, no, it's better in Dubai. So I get your point that a lot of people have moved here. Arab founders, they have good food because they know the exact amount of literally everything that goes into making Arab food, right? It's their specialty. Even if, as a Pakistani, if I come and try to open an Arab food restaurant, I would never be able to do justice. It's always the people who know it better, right?
I don't even think it's about recipes, by the way. I think it's about, like for example, like when I'm on TikTok and I see, like, you know, a lady cooking chicken or whatnot, I'll open the comment section and immediately people are like, wait, you don't wash the chicken breast.
Oh.
Does that make sense? It's like, it's things like those.
Yeah.
There are certain
the
things.
The minor nuances.
Because I am an Arab and I see how my mom does cook. And it's like, there are specific practices and rituals that people stick to. They wash every single thing. And I cannot trust that in Western restaurants that they have the same practices as us. And to be honest with you, there is nothing wrong with that.
Everyone has their own thing.
I think everyone
very
does.
Interestingly, for the first time, we are live on Insta. We go live on Insta, but there's this, I think she's a woman because she has been using those pronouns. But Lily of Deen, she's been commenting throughout our story and she's saying very interesting things. I'm also living in Pakistan as an Afghan, and that's so true. And so good and tasty, she's talking about the food. She's the one commenting a lot. So I thought maybe give a shout out to one of the people who is listening. And let's move on to another story, the next story. It's also about a global giant. So global shipping giant, Maersk, which is from Denmark, so it's a Danish company, says it will no longer do business with companies linked to Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank. And the announcement comes after sustained pressure from human rights activists and advocacy groups.
So in a statement that they issued this June, Maersk confirmed that it has updated its screening procedures to align with the UN Human Rights Office's database, which basically flags companies involved in supporting or servicing illegal settlements.
And the Palestinian youth movement led the campaign, highlighting Maersk's alleged role in transporting military goods and settlement-related cargo. Maersk declined to name specific companies affected, referring only to its new policy. So they didn't tell you which companies they were doing the stuff for.
So while activists welcomed the move, they say it doesn't go far enough. So the Palestinian youth movement accused Maersk of continuing to profit from war, citing its role in transporting F-35 fighter jet components used in Gaza strikes.
And calls are growing for stricter oversight across the global shipping industry. Activists are now targeting Maersk's U.S. subsidiary and urging other logistics firms to follow suit in screening military-linked shipments under international law. The interesting thing is that they said that they're following the U.N. humanitarian law and all those legal things. So it shows you that even a giant like Maersk, you go to any port, since UAE is a very port country, you go to any port, you'll always see the Maersk logo on the containers and cargo.
It's a pretty big company.
Yeah, you can't miss
actually,
it.
Actually, it's actually, to be specific, it's the second largest transporter of goods in the world, Majid.
Yeah.
Like, that is how big it is. And I think for me, this entire story, it is proof that your calls, customer opinion does matter.
Yeah.
You don't like something, speak out about it. I mean, I was watching this video from Morocco, and I think they were like at the port, and when they saw the ship, they were protesting against it. The protests against it have happened in multiple countries, multiple cities. You have Morocco, you have New York, the Netherlands. So I think that this is such great proof that what people are doing does matter, and that customer opinion does. Don't underestimate what your opinion will mean to a company. I feel like we see, like this morning, I saw this LinkedIn post with Mazen Kanaan. I'm sure you read it too, Majid.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because Mazen, he's the Lebanese founder of House of Pops. If you know House of Pops, you know that they're super healthy. That is like their entire brand ethos. And basically, one of their e-commerce brands that is basically distributing their products, sending it to people's homes, it's sent to a specific house of Pops, with these two espresso lattes. What are they called again? I forgot the name. I really shouldn't. Anyways, basically, they're like lattes. And the customer took a photo and sent it to House of Pops, basically saying, like, I'm so surprised. Like, I know that you guys are super healthy and that this is not what you stand for. And it was so interesting because it's like people do pay attention to things. And by the way, those cans with the coffee magic, do you know how many grams of sugar they have in them? 22 grams of sugar. The recommended sugar amount for a person per day, by the way, is 22 grams. So the fact that you're having it in just one canned, like, you know, coffee is just, it's really bad for you. It is.
But yeah, the combination of a healthy product with the guys who did it, they should be like careful that we're sending a free stuff. Obviously, we're trying to promote our stuff. But don't send stuff which doesn't match the thing.
Exactly.
Like, for example, if you're buying tea at a place and you get milk free, understandable, people put tea. That's a very nice combination. You get small rainbow free.
Or even sugar.
Or yeah, maybe you're buying, anything that comes that complements the brand. But yeah, this is a story.
I think maybe in this case, they should have sent like some mini mandarins or something.
Bye-bye, Livilio of Dean is saying, I love sugar. Yeah, everyone loves sugar. It's so addictive. But yeah, it's good to cut it. Don't overdo it. But next story is about another, it's now moving from companies to entrepreneurs, Jordanian-American entrepreneur Amjad Masad. I recently found out in a speech of his that he is actually Palestinian, but his family moved to Jordan, so he has a Jordanian passport.
Oh.
So the full form would be Palestinian-Jordanian-American entrepreneur Amjad Masad. And it's really interesting because a lot of Palestinians, when they moved to Egypt or all those countries, they literally got those passports and they started calling themselves Jordanian or anything. But he is Palestinian at its core. And he has started a company, Replit, which has been there for a long time. But the very interesting thing that came out is that he announced that his cloud-based coding platform, Replit, has crossed $100 million in annual recurring revenue. Annual recurring revenue, in very simple terms, every year they will earn $100 million now because of the clients that they have or the people who are actually paying for their services. The update was shared on LinkedIn by him.
So this milestone, it marks a tenfold increase from just $10 million at the end of 2024. By April 2025, Replit had already hit $70 million, fueled by strong demand and product-led growth. And this is what I was going to say. This is such a quick rise.
Yeah, and Replit's AI-powered feature known as Agent AI, or Replit Agent, also Agent for short, along with its usage-based pricing model has been credited for driving the platform's breakout success over the past 6 months. The more you use, the more you pay. The less you use, the less you pay.
So the company was last valued at $1.1 billion during a 2023 funding round, making it a unicorn. Now, Masad confirmed that more than half of that capital is still available, meaning Replit has not needed to raise again.
And now gearing up for its next phase, Replit is hiring aggressively across teams. That's what was one part of his LinkedIn post. Masad's announcement signals confidence not just in the product, but in the long-term future of cloud-based AI-enhanced software development.
So just to make this clear, by the way, Replit literally helps you build an app.
Anything.
That is literally what it does. It helps you build anything. And just very recently, and I found that so interesting, so Amjad Masad's Replit actually collaborated with Humane. And so Humane, it's this new big AI company that was announced overnight before Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And basically what the partnership is going to be is that Replit is going to support Humane in providing their Arabic language coding models. And I think that both of them are actually going to integrate almost into each other's products. But I think for me, I think a point in this is that Amjad Masad is American and Tariq Amin, the CEO that is heading Humane, he is also American.
Yeah.
You know, I do bet that they probably run in the same circle and they probably know
Silicon
each other.
Valley.
Because honestly, like, it is such a specific choice to go after Replit. I do believe that they're probably one of the best at what they do, but there are a lot of people.
Yeah. And there's this Wassel3.ar. They're commenting that let's hope something like this spawns from the MENA region. It's a very nice idea. And to be honest, someone will make it. Replit, I've used it. I've used Lovable more because for very lovable has a more
lovable.
Easy. Yeah.
Do you know who that's by?
It's a American startup, but it's a very no. Lovable is an Indian startup actually. But the thing with it is that Lovable has an easier user interface. So you look at it and you're like, okay, something is going on. With Replit, I don't think you need to know coding because it's also has like a ChatGPT agent. You just write, I want an app to do my monthly budget with my wife. So it'll create an app, and as soon as you get stuck at some point, you can say, oh, resolve this problem. It'll resolve the problem itself. And you can get that app, you can publish it, you can do whatever with you want. Replit has a better app-making ability. Lovable has, to be honest, a better game-making ability because I was trying to make basic games with it. The snake game, I think you must have played that snake game eat the fruit and the snake goes
like,
yeah. So I tried to make that. So gaming-wise, Lovable was good, but Replit is like everything. You can create analysis apps. I was listening to an ad in the morning. They're very much marketing here in the Middle East also. So yeah, Replit. Try it. Free version would not let you publish the app for like global users. Like you can still make it and download it and use it on your phone. So
and
it's personalization of software.
It's like, so interesting.
It's killing, to be honest, it's killing the idea of Microsoft, the likes of the software giants which create a software and then sell it to you. You can literally now make your own software.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, that actually does make me very happy because if you guys know this, you know, a giant like Microsoft, they, you know, it's not even alleged anymore.
Yeah.
They have sold code to Israel, which Israel has used on airstrikes to target Lebanon and Gaza. So the fact that you have a founder like Amjad Massad from our region, Palestinian, Jordanian, for our region, he is, you know, he's constantly protesting against the genocide in Gaza and calling it a genocide as it is. And I think for me as a founder, that is really what stands out to me is that, you know, his moral code, it does make you want to support the product more. And like, just like on a further note, like, you know, for all the negative Nellies out there who are like, oh my God, the rise of AI is like so scary. I feel like, to be honest with you, Majid, like over time, people have kept saying things are getting like scary. You know, when we started getting like iPhones, oh, this is like really scary.
Yeah.
Like somebody can stalk you. Make sure to like put a sticker on your laptop, on your phone. It's like the more things are being developed, it's almost like society is telling us to be scared of them. But no, that's going to make our life so easy. It really
See,
is.
See, even I'll give you a very weird example just to make it make sense. Internet came, everyone was against it. Then some of were in favor of it. And now everyone is in favor of it. Then even today in this world where you travel in an aeroplane and you see the world, actually, there are people who still call the earth flat. So you can never fight with humans on what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. They will believe whatever they want to believe. The good thing is with AI, it's simplifying processes. It's making them efficient. The problem will come and has come eventually. There's jobs that are being lost. We talked about Microsoft, Google. A lot of them are firing
developers.
Yeah,
one person can probably do something faster.
So a lot of them are becoming redundant because they didn't develop skills to stay in the market. You know, we've talked about it so much on the show that as with AI, we are a very AI-forward company. Augustus Media, Smashy Business comes under it. As a whole, our founder, our whole senior team, the content directors, every single person who walks into this company, we're very clear to them that use whatever AI you can. We don't mind. However you can make a process efficient, quicker, we'll love it. And even if an intern comes and proposes an AI which is usable throughout the company or for the content team, for commercial team, for any team, we welcome it. Because that is how the world is moving. If you don't move with the world, if you don't move with the technological advancement, you'll stay back and everyone will run away. We saw that with Lana, remember? The whole press release and the whole event about it, there was AI mentioned like 4 or 5 times that we are trying to make it AI-powered and this and that. So it's very clear that everyone is focused on AI.
But at the same time, though, Majid, I think like companies really need to stop being funny.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to sell me a product by just saying this is AI-powered. Like,
yeah.
do you see what I mean? Because I feel like, especially with writing Majid, like, by the way, people, I remember I went for this event, right? And it was with, like, a bunch of media peeps. It was a bunch of them, like, you know, editorial director this. And I remember I was speaking to this director, and he was like, to be honest with you, like, I don't like it when I read a piece of news. And I can tell it was written by AI. Yeah. It's like, yes, AI is great. Not everybody knows how to use it. Yeah. Not everyone knows how to use the right prompts.
Yeah.
So it's like, as a company, if you're coming to me and you're telling me, oh, my product is AI powered, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is not, is that going to sell to you immediately? Like, no,
there
it will
was
not.
A time, I think 1 year ago it was, but now literally you open any website, any app, anything that has some technological function, you will see AI on their face of page, like AI powered. Okay, you are AI powered, but how? Explain it to me, and how you being an AI powered product will help me. That's the question, and that's the answer that now you need to tell.
Exactly. And if you're AI powering, like, how are you doing it? Like, that transparency, it's so important.
Yeah. And just before we move forward, there's a lot of comments coming. Since thank you, Lily of Dean, for commenting. I think you broke the silence, and everyone is commenting. Just quickly, we'll lead and lead to the last story. So that same account, Vassal3.dr, it said, we are an Arabic blockchain names catering for Arabic speakers, started here in the UAE. Good job. We love homegrown startup. We'll look into you. We'll see what you guys do. There's hello from one person. Just scroll down a little. Let me find him. That guy said hello. Hello back. Lily of Dean also says that it's welcomed AI. But yeah, Worth also joined.
Yeah, I just joined.
She's like, I want to read also.
About.
But yeah, it's a very interesting thing going on. Thank you for commenting. Yeah, you can be a part of the conversation. We'll read your comments as we go. It's good to have another perspective from the audience. We would really love feedback.
It is great. But just to further the discussion on AI, so UAE-based trading app Baraka has launched an AI-powered investment assistant aimed at retail investors. So basically, the tool offers real-time insights, earning updates, and personalized financial news for users trading U.S. stocks and ETFs on Baraka's app.
Yeah, and it's founded by Canadian entrepreneur Firas Jalboud. Baraka has positioned itself as a regional alternative to global apps like Robinhood, built specifically for the Gulf's financial landscape and user preferences.
Baraka offers features in Arabic, supports local currencies, and includes Sharia-compliant tools. So since its launch in 2020, the app has expanded across Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, and Oman.
And the new AI feature adds to Baraka's content hub, investment academy, and financial newsletter. We actually follow the newsletter, and we saw it, and our owner was like, oh, this is a new thing. And it, since it's been started here, why not? We support local startups as much as we can. It's very interesting that we as a media company also do stories about media companies which are coming. They are kind of like our competitors, but if they do something nice, why not? We covered Monify so much. Obviously, we covered them firing people, but we also covered Nagib Soros's daughter joining them. When they launched, we did a story on them that, oh, they're launching. Lana, we are covering. So we don't mind competition. It's good. It's healthy. It's I think it's part of your growth. If you don't accept competition, you're not growing.
For sure. Yeah. And backed by $26 million in funding, Jalboud, formerly of Barclays and Wamda Capital, says Baraka's mission is to support Arab founders and reshape how everyday people across the Gulf build wealth. I think that, you know, this is a company, it's a great example of you know, these like regional and investors that are growing in our region into entrepreneurs. And I think that it is so beautiful to see. And that's a wrap for today, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms, and a special shout out today to the people who are here and commenting. If you're on TikTok, we also are on TikTok, live on TikTok. We're live on YouTube as well. Wherever you are watching us, if you comment and be a part of the conversation, we would love to include you and read out your comments. Thank you very much. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.